It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll dig into the science of how we make decisions with Discover Magazine's Gemma Tarlak.
First, the Attorneys General of Maryland and the District of Columbia filed a federal lawsuit today against President Trump. They're accusing the president of violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution.
Part of the lawsuit includes uncovering the tax returns the president has been unwilling to release so far. Here's a clip from Maryland's Attorney General Brian Frost from a press conference earlier today.
This case is about the right of hundreds of millions of Americans to honest government. Elected leaders who serve the people and not their own financial interests are the indispensable foundation of our democracy. And the president, above all other elected officials, must have only the interests of Americans at the heart of every decision.
Lewis Nelson joins us now. He is a reporter at Politico. Lewis, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
We heard a little bit there, but what else have the Attorneys General of Washington, D.C. and Maryland said about why they're suing the president?
Well, at issue, like you brought up in your nice introduction there, was that there's the Emoluments Clause, which has sort of gotten its 15 minutes of fame. As far as constitutional wonks have gone, since President Trump was inaugurated, and that's the part of the Constitution that basically prohibits government officials, people in positions of trust in the government, from accepting foreign titles, gifts, payments from foreign governments. But also at issue in this case is another provision of the Constitution, another sort of emoluments clause. That deals specifically sort of domestically, and what it prohibits is the president is not allowed to supplement his salary, his constitutionally mandated salary, with any other payments from various states or from the federal government. And that comes into play because of the president's hotel, the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. The Trump Organization, which the president still owns, doesn't own that hotel. It leases the property from the General Services Administration, from the federal government. And so that's a business entanglement that these two attorneys general are sort of highlighting in this lawsuit that they filed today.
Can you talk a little bit about what the Emoluments Clause was designed to do initially?
Yeah, so the Emoluments Clause obviously was never completely intended or was not written with the type of wealth that Donald Trump has in mind. It's fairly easy to imagine the sort of framers and of the Constitution and the Founding Fathers not totally being able to conceptualize the sort of international business entanglements or the types of business deals or just the sheer amount of wealth that President Donald Trump has been able to amass. The Emoluments Clause dealt initially, when it was first written, with things as simple as George Washington, the sale of George Washington's agriculture products, products from his farm abroad, overseas, things like that. So this is certainly a unique test. President Trump's sort of vast business empire is certainly a unique test of the Emoluments Clause.
We're talking with Lewis Nelson right now, reporter for Politico, joining us to talk about the news that the attorneys general of Maryland and D.C. are suing President Trump. And Lewis, President Trump has had the plan, and he formed that trust and handed control of his businesses to his two sons. What are the legal sticking points in that arrangement for some critics?
Well, the legal sticking points, the White House would tell you, are very few. There are a decent number of sort of conflict of interest laws, federal conflict of interest laws, that simply do not apply to the president of the United States. The White House's line has been that the president legally cannot have a conflict of interest, and that's not entirely true. There are certain laws that apply to the president, but not all of them do. The sticking points are sort of more customary. Traditionally, presidents have held themselves to this standard of putting their assets into a blind trust, a trust that is outside of their control, that they don't know the sort of comings and goings of it. The idea being that when a president makes a decision that might have financial ramifications, he's making that decision with the interests of the country in mind and not the interests of his, his own portfolio. What President Trump has done is something short of that. President Trump has placed control of the Trump Organization, which is amounts to, the bulk of his assets, under the control of his two adult sons. That's Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. And while the president, while the Trump Organization rather has said that the president doesn't have any day-to-day control of the Trump Organization, it is not a blind trust. For it to be a truly blind trust, you would have to there would have to be no discussion of the family business between Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and the president. And they have said as much, that is not true. Eric Trump, a week or two ago, I believe, in an interview, said that he still shares certain pieces of information with the president, things like profit reports from the Trump Organization. He shares them, I think he said, quarterly. So that is not by any means a blind trust. And so those who have been critical of the president have said that he's falling short of the ethical standards set by his predecessors.
Now, you mentioned the Trump Hotel in D.C. Leased from the General Services Administration. Are there other specific examples in the lawsuit that those bringing it see as violations of that emoluments clause?
Well, the Trump International Hotel is the big one, and that one has already been subject to some other sort of legal wranglings and legal disputes. The General Services Administration, my memory is failing me a little bit, either right before Trump was inaugurated or shortly after, basically had to come out with a ruling that the Trump Organization's lease with the GSA did not violate the emoluments clause. That the presence of the hotel and Donald Trump being president at the same time were okay, was acceptable. Other issues, though, have a lot to do with foreign governments, foreign businesses, foreign business dealings that the Trump Organization has, and then sort of by connection that the president himself has through the organization that he still owns. And the full extent of those, still remains unknown. The president has refused to release his tax returns. Those would be, fairly crucial documents in sort of determining the full scope of his international business obligations and international business ties.
Right, and that's a big feature of this lawsuit, correct? That if the attorneys bringing it are going to request to see these personal tax returns, and that is yet to be made public, and even if it is something that the attorney general get to see, it probably won't, it sounds like, go public. But is that expected to be a big flashpoint?
Yeah, it certainly is. The president has not released his tax returns yet, as you said, as has been well reported. And it certainly, by all indications, is that he doesn't intend to release them anytime soon, although the White House has continued to say that he will release them once they're no longer under audit. But it's hard to see a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the tax returns actually coming out anytime soon. And so the question there, is that whether or not they actually are available to these attorneys general, I think it is something that is likely to be pursued if this case is allowed to go forward. It's likely to be pursued and could conceivably be pursued all the way up to the Supreme Court.
And what are you watching for next in this case?
Well, this is sort of an addition to the sort of already growing mountain of legislation that the Trump administration is facing. There is another sort of similar lawsuit that has a lot of parallels that was filed by an organization called the Center for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. That's a watchdog group. That group is also acting as an acting counsel for this legislation brought by the two attorneys general. There's litigation involving the president's executive order about the travel bans. There is sure to be litigation about the border wall that the president has promised, certainly involving eminent domain and the government's ability to, gather up the land to actually build the wall and support all the infrastructure for it. This is increasingly, any White House is involved in a lot of litigation, but for the attorneys general of a state and of the District of Columbia to file a lawsuit against the president of the United States is certainly noteworthy and adds to the sort of mounting pile of ongoing high-profile lawsuits that the president and his team, his administration, have to face, and this is the sort of thing they'd rather not be dealing with when they want to be pushing things like the Obamacare repeal and replace, things like a tax reform package, a big overhaul of that, things like a massive infrastructure package that they'd like to work with Democrats on. So this is, if nothing else, certainly a distraction from the president's political agenda.
Lewis, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
That was Lewis Nelson, a reporter for Politico, joining us to talk about news that the attorneys general of Maryland and D.C. are suing President Trump.